Well, here we are, another first Sunday of the year. One of the nice things about being in a liturgical church is we get two of these a year. Everybody else only gets one. First Sunday of Advent, and now this one. And as I was thinking about what we might talk about on this Sunday, what I ended up coming back to was the question of what do we have in Jesus? Which seems like an obvious question. We have Jesus. You're done. Except, well, it's a bit more complicated than that, or at least it's a bit more interesting, I think, than that. Because when we think of Jesus, it's all too easy for us to fall into sort of two broad categories. We think of Jesus as the Son of God, and that's all we think about, or we think of Jesus as a human being from a long time ago, and that's all we think about, and we don't try to pull the two together. And I understand why not. It's hard. Fully human and fully God. It's only happened once. It's something that's beyond our ability to fully understand it, so it's easier to just think of one or the other. But when we think of both, we start realizing that there are more things, perhaps, than just what we might have thought at first. And so when we look at our two, especially our two New Testament texts, we discover some things about Jesus that may be useful for us in this upcoming year. Perhaps they're all known to you already, or maybe one or two of them will be new, or at least some of the implications will be new for you. And so we look at what Paul had to say in his letter to the church at Ephesus. I'm pretty sure I mention this every time this comes up in the lectionary, but what Joyce read for us, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, is a single sentence in Greek. Ephesians is a weird book when it comes to Greek. For one of my Greek classes, the blind translation in the final exam was taken from Ephesians, and somebody wrote on their exam paper, apparently, is this even in the Bible? It's so different than everything else that it's really hard to figure it out, but that's sort of neither here nor there, of course. But it's an interesting passage, of course, because it talks all about Jesus. It starts talking about God. Praise be to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not to talk about the blessings that we've received from there, but then it goes on to talk about what Jesus means. Jesus, fully God, fully human, with us, not at this very moment in a physical form, but with us on earth all those years ago. And in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Oh, well, that's one of the things that's fairly obvious, I think, for those of us who grew up in the church. We've heard this all the time. Jesus is this redeeming person. Through Jesus, we have forgiveness. In accordance with the riches of God's grace, that sounds a little bit different, in that what Jesus did is he came here not to do something brand new, but to help us understand something that's always been there in a new way. He made known to us the mystery of God's will. Mystery of God's will. Don't we know what God's will is? Well, we sort of do. We know it in the really big sort of picture. But what it means for us as individuals sometimes can be a little bit tricky. And Jesus brought us a new way of understanding that. And then through Jesus, Paul goes on to say, we've been chosen according to the plan of him who works out everything. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. We were included in Christ. One of the things that we have in Jesus is we have a new inclusion into a relationship with God that we didn't have before, at least not in this particular way. And Paul ends up by saying, we're marked in Jesus with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And what is this inheritance? This inheritance is a full relationship with God that will one day be in its absolute fullness, whether on this earth, if we live long enough for God to return, whatever that looks like, or when we go to join him, we will then know things in a way that is complete and full, in a way that we don't already. All of these things came with Jesus. They were there in one way, perhaps before, but they became unmistakable if we were willing to look for it once we came into this relationship with Jesus after he came to be a human being just like us. And then when we take a look at our gospel reading, the gospel according to St. John, the odd gospel. They call the other ones the synoptics because they all work together in ways. And then there's John, just right up there. Maybe that's why John is perhaps my favorite gospel, if I'm allowed to have one. But John begins by talking about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and the Word is Jesus. And what John is doing right from the beginning of his gospel is he's making sure we don't lose sight of the fact that Jesus was God. Lots of other things that we're going to talk about through the book of John, and he covers lots of different things, but he wants to make sure that we know right from the very beginning that Jesus was God and has always been God. Jesus was not a normal human being, born just like anyone else, and then with a special kind of divine grace poured upon him. No. Jesus was God since before the beginning. John struggles with language because we don't have language that deals with eternity because we're not eternal beings. In the beginning was the Word. Well, that's not really true because the Word was there before there was a beginning. And if that's not confusing enough, there's no ending either. Eternity is one of these things we just can't wrap our brains around. So John did the best that he could and said, in the beginning, right from the start of anything that started, Jesus was there. We drop down a bit and we see that when Jesus came, he came into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. This one's kind of tough for us, perhaps, to understand, or at least to see exactly what that means. The world did not recognize him. Well, so what? There's lots of people we don't recognize. You get a new haircut, you shave your beard off. Unlikely for me to do that, but whatever might happen, people don't recognize you. What John is doing, we need to remember that John was a Jewish person, steeped in the Old Testament law, and writing about Jesus, another Jew, and writing at this point primarily to people who were also steeped in the Old Testament law. And what he's saying is, this person has been talked about since forever, and you didn't recognize him when he came. There are prophecies that relate to Jesus in Isaiah and other places, and from our perspective, we say, well, how could they not know? Well, it's because we're looking at it backwards. We read Isaiah through the lens of Jesus. And so we see him all over the place. One of my denominational superiors in a different denomination I was in before used to say that Isaiah is the whole Bible, only in miniature, because it's got 66 books and Jesus is somewhere towards the middle of the end. I thought, okay, close enough. But you don't see that as easily if you're looking at it from the other side. The prophecies about Jesus, many were fulfilled in a less perfect way before Jesus ever showed up. But even in this, John is saying, he came and you did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Jesus came as a Messiah to all, but first and foremost to the people of the book, to the nation of Israel, and they didn't notice. They didn't know. We have a Messiah that we've known from the beginning. We have an unfair advantage, but that's where we are. We know who Jesus is. And coming out of that, to everyone who did receive him, we became the children of God. There's a new and different relationship that shows up with Jesus. The relationship with God has always been possible. God has never been so distant that he can't be reached. In the Old Testament, it was different. It was harder. Sort of easier, because you knew exactly what you had to do, because it was all laid out for you in hundreds and hundreds of rules. But harder, because there were hundreds and hundreds of rules that you had to remember. John tells us that the Word, that God himself became flesh and came to live among us. You drop down a few verses to 16, and John tells us, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Grace is a tricky thing. My usual definition of grace is the unmerited favor of God. You don't earn grace. You can't earn grace. It's like when people are, you know, they're just being polite or whatever it is, and you have something on your desk and they come over and say, oh, well, I'm going to steal a Kleenex or something. And say, well, you can't steal it. I'm giving it to you. You can't buy grace. As soon as you buy it, it's not grace anymore. It's something else. You don't earn grace. It's something that's simply given to you. And following up on that, we see, for the law was given through Moses. And that's that Old Testament way of living, where there were these hundreds and hundreds of rules and regulations that you needed to follow. I'm glad I don't have those anymore. I recently finished writing out the book of Leviticus, and there's a bunch of things in there I'd forgotten were in there. And I've forgotten what they are again, because from my perspective, they are trivial or they don't connect with me at all. Jesus brought grace and truth. Grace and truth both. Jesus took all of those laws, all those hundreds of them back there, and coalesced them into two when he was asked, somebody trying to trip him up. Said, what are the most important laws? He said, well, that's pretty easy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You do these, and all the other ones will take care of themselves. And here we're in another one of those things where, well, this is in some ways much easier, but it's also much harder. It's easier because there's only two to remember, and obviously I can remember them because I just quoted them. They're not even written down in front of me. You don't have to remember the 611 commandments and the even more statutes. But you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And you have to love your neighbor as yourself. What if your neighbor's a jerk? It happens. What if your neighbor lets their dog bark almost as much as yours does? Because that's somehow, and sometimes, how we think. We have to do these things, which are harder, because they take all of who we are. It's not a matter of checking boxes, of saying, oh yeah, I did these things. It's, am I the kind of person who does those things? Because that's what we're called to. That's what we have in Jesus. And what Jesus has done is not just said, here it is, grace and truth, good luck. We also have the Holy Spirit, who when we move into this relationship with God through Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes within us and helps us see where we need to grow, helps us see what it means to love our neighbor as ourself. Sometimes helps us to see how we need to love ourselves as we love our neighbor. We haven't been left alone. Jesus came and said, it's not as simple as this either or. And don't think of me as an either or. We don't think of Jesus as only God or only human. We don't think of God, Jesus as this mystical being who wasn't really human. Or we don't think of Jesus as a human who just knew a lot. It's a combination that has brought us profound benefits we wouldn't have been able to receive any other way. That's what we have in Jesus. A new way, a better way to be in relationship with God. People in the Old Testament had a relationship with God. This isn't that part isn't brand new, but it's a different kind. It's not mediated by priests. Your relationship with God has nothing to do with you bringing me something and having me do it, or anyone else, because you relate to God as you. You do it in community. We do it best in community. That's why we get together every Sunday. But not because if we're not here, we're in trouble. But because when we're here, we're with like-minded people who help us understand what it means to be in this relationship, who help us know what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. A relationship with God through Jesus doesn't provide instant perfection. It would be nice if it did, I suppose, but it doesn't. The truth of Jesus is the kind of thing that will enable us to see what needs to be changed within us. It reminds me of, well, it's been attributed to a number of people, but the truth will set you free, but first it will make you miserable. Knowing how we fall short is never a pleasant thing, but we're not just left there. When we realize that there are other things that we need to do, we're given that possibility through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. It came as a result of Jesus coming. Jesus, right before he left his followers, before he left the earth, said, it's better for you that I leave. Because when I go, The Holy Spirit is going to come to help you in ways that I cannot. Jesus, when he was here on earth, was limited in the same way we are to being in one place at one time with one group of people. He was limited just as we are, but the Holy Spirit has no limits. And it's that Holy Spirit that we have because Jesus left the Holy Spirit for us. We talk about the Trinity and that the Holy Spirit's also eternal. We'll do that some other day. But the important thing to remember is the Holy Spirit is within us even now. And that when Jesus came and showed us the way of grace and truth, Jesus also gave us a way to live in that. We listen to the Holy Spirit's promptings, the nudgings that come from our internal sense of what's right and what's wrong. If they're not clear to us, we talk to people in the community of faith that we're in, whether it's this one or anyone. And then we do what it is that we've been called to do. Because what do we have in Jesus? An opportunity to become the people we were created to be. To do those things that only we can do because of where we are. Because of our unique relationships. Because of the people that we're connected to. All of these things came with Jesus. And we celebrated this coming in Christmas. We look forward to it in Advent. And now for the next rest of the year, we'll look at what it means. But let's never forget that with Jesus, we didn't just get God on earth. We didn't just get a wise human. We got something so much more than that, the implications of which change everything about us and give us the opportunity to become more than we ever might have thought. Amen.